Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, what is there to say before this? This is, this was and will always be, I think, one of the greatest nights of my life. The culmination of a year of hard work that no one asked for. This felt like, and I think I'd achieved things, small things in my career to this point, but this was the most overwhelmed I've ever felt at this point. I remember I was quite overawed by having a live audience of Americans, having sold out this beautiful theater. And I remember Tim really rising to the occasion, and my memory was not faulty. Tim is so funny in this episode. And I'm also there, and I'm hanging on. But I've had such a wonderful time revisiting all of this. I never thought I would do it. And basically, all I am now is in the way of what we've all been waiting for, the end.
Shut it down, shut it down.
Get rid of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Worst Idea.
I said get rid of it!
Welcome to the Worst Idea of All Time. My name is Tim Batt.
My name is Guy Montgomery.
And we have just watched Grown Ups 2 for the 52nd time. Okay. We got a lot to get through, so please hold your applause.
For those of you who are joining us on the internet, we're coming to you live from a real hum here in Los Angeles, California. This is the Sinner family on Fairfax and Third.
It's a pleasure to be with you tonight. My name is Timothy, and this is my friend, Mr. Montgomery.
Yes, and we will not be speaking like this for very long at all.
However, we'll keep it up as damn well long as we can.
I tell you what, Timothy, I'm fairly finished with it right about now.
Okay, fair enough. So this is probably a good time to tell you at the end of the podcast that, guess what, everybody? We're from Sony Pictures, marketing and publicity.
Oh!
And on behalf of all of us... On behalf of all of us at Sony Pictures, I'd like to say, gotcha!
Yeah.
Welcome to the second cinema release of Grown Ups 2. We're going to be rolling it out through the entire world.
Why do you think there are cameras here? We're filming you sons of bitches, all right?
Yeah.
You're a test audience and you like what we've got.
We're working on a second edit. We wanted to see which cakes flied and which one sunk.
It turns out they're all fitters. What we have built is potentially the funniest goddamn movie of all time.
I'm a little worried to release it for a second run because in its first cinema run, we killed 37 people in the nation of America.
We don't talk about that on camera, Tim. Because
not a lot, not often.
Virtually never.
Lawsuits and whatnot.
Yeah, that's right. You 37 bodies, they're difficult to hide, I'll tell you that.
The interesting thing about 37 people dying is... And I don't know 100%.
What is interesting about...
Well, I'm pretty sure it's a prime number.
No one's corrected you, so I think you're onto something, Tim.
Yeah?
That's the largest prime number mass killing in cinema history.
That's the power of Grown Ups 2.
Yeah, a lot of people said you couldn't top 2. Guess what, idiots?
All right. Listen, fool listening. It's Guy and I speaking to you. It's Timbo here. I've got the radio experience. I've got the silky smooth voice.
And over here you got Monty, versatile and excited to be here.
Welcome to the Worst Idea of All Time podcast. Bloody good to have you. The number, 1-800, Worst Idea of All Time. The fax, 1-900, Worst Idea of All Time. The email, worst at ideaofalltime.aol.
.aol.podcast.
If you guys want tickets to see Dixie's Midnight Runners this weekend, you're shit out of luck. But I'll tell you what, REO Speedwagon in your lounge, it's up for grabs.
.com is our website.
We're doing a lot of fucking around, but the simple truth is, Monty, we fucking did it, dude. High five. 1 year of Grown Ups 2. Thank you. I couldn't be more delighted to see the ass end of this film. I'm like, there's a real genuine chemical feeling of elation floating around my brain right now that I am struggling to articulate in a human language.
What you are feeling is the weight of...
Can I try Spanish? Muy bueno. Muy bueno. Very good.
That is an abridged version of... how I was going to describe your feeling. But what it does really boil down to at this point, and I can speak from experience, Tim, is muy bueno, which for the unfamiliar in the audience is Spanish for is okay, I think.
You're so astute and so good at languages, Monty. Do you know what I'm going to do? Dive right in. Oh, I need to keep track of how long we're talking as well.
Tim bought a new watch. He doesn't need to keep track. It really doesn't matter. He just wants you to know about it.
I've got a watch that's got all the buttons on it. Got a calculator into it and shit, but I'm just
that's
not
great.
Quite used to it yet.
Did you buy that in the past? Like, really far back in the past?
Oh, who'll be like... Oh, wait, that's a calculator bit. Stopwatch.
Ah, it's cool. It's easy to use too, right? It's just like a real basic layout. It's so
boom,
much easier
Scott.
Than these pesky smartphones we kept getting dealt.
So, the first... thing we've got to address is all of the things we've got to address, and the first one I
think
tackle,
a great time to start is right now, Tim.
Wow. I want to kick off with Shining Light.
I think this is a great time to start the podcast.
So do you want me to take the lead on this one?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. My Shining Light for the 50-second viewing consists of 4 words.
Whoa!
Chris Rock cargo pants. I never noticed it before, but that dude is rocking some straight up desert camel colored cargo pants full length. They're not 3/4, they're not zip offs. They are the real fucking
deal.
The
guy is doing a reasonably industrial job. He's got to stay practical. He's got to hold things. He's got to hold different things in different pockets.
And there's the
what provides
cargos?
More options than a pair of cargo pants?
Fucking nothing.
That's
legitimately,
right.
Cargo pants are, if you've got things you got to carry and for some reason it's got to be in your pants and not in your hands, cargos are your number one choice. In fact, I feel like as good as Chris Rock is at stand up and acting, which we didn't really see on display in the movie, but I've seen in others, I feel like if we had Chris Rock cargo pants, not only is it a great hashtag, but I feel like it's an even better company, I would buy those pants. Those are trousers I'm shelling out for.
Unless you trademark this tomorrow, Tim, you've just given away $1 million. So congratulations.
I do it all the time. There's no off position to the genius switch.
You know, the big sales pitch on the cargo pants is how many hands do you have, Tim?
Look, I'm just a man. I have but those hands.
That's right. All right. So imagine if hands were pockets, right? And a regular pair of pants, how many hands do they have?
Wait, you've already lost me. 2?
Correct. 2. Okay. Imagine if your pants had 4 hands.
What?
You're now buying cargo pants,
now,
friend.
Hold on.
Congratulations.
What are you saying? Hey, what? My pants.
I'm just like.
So each pocket is two hands.
Let's not drill into it. It's not a strong argument.
I've got half a dozen hands. It's pretty good.
Like, what I'm saying is if pockets were hands.
Yes.
Cargo pants have four hands. Or more. Two back pockets, six hands. Well,
hold on,
I'm underestimating cargo pants.
Because I'm wearing jeans right now, okay? That's one hand.
Correct.
That's one hand. So we've got two already.
Yeah.
We're dealing with another one down there, and you know that shit's deep and fat.
You're explaining
so that's another two.
That's a bigger hand.
So we got two,
it's a different
three,
hand.
Four, times two is eight, plus two is ten. You're dealing with 10 hands on a human.
Okay.
That's a lot of shit going on.
That is a mighty big human.
Did you have a shining light on this watch, guy?
I'm pretty sure I told you to remind me of several. What did I tell you, Tim?
Before I bring that up, let me tell you about the time when I was in Stewart Island.
No.
I'm trying to help you out,
no,
dude.
No.
I'm trying to buy you time.
They're trying to buy you time to buy me time. No one's
it's
buying...
It's not my responsibility to remember your shining lights on the last fucking episode, dude.
Okay.
Like, step up to the plate, bro.
Shining lights.
You're
the
in the
movie,
world series.
The movie looks really good on a big screen.
I'll give it that.
I feel like maybe we've got it wrong the whole time.
No. No. I can't possibly.
Maybe we've horribly misread the situation.
I can't agree with that. No, sir. No,
over
sir. Sir, I say no.
Sir.
There's something,
I say to you, sir.
There is something very forgiving about being in a theatre, particularly with the amount of very large physical gags that this movie presents, and I recognise that. Hey, guess what, you pieces of shit? You laughed at the bit where they all jumped off Suicide 35 off the top rock, 35 feet above the water.
My mom told me that drunk when she was pregnant with me.
You laughed at that. Four grown comedic men jumping off a cliff into water, injuring themselves significantly, predominantly in the genitalia. You guys loved it. And we loved it too the first time we saw it.
Yeah, I was going to stick up for them. I think that's pretty funny almost the whole way through. Like,
it's a good physical gag.
It's funny
that's
watching it with this many people. Yeah, there are some jokes that you hear and you've got weighted expectations on them. I was relieved to hear people laughing at the Suicide 35 stuff.
There were some interesting points where you guys... Do you know what? This has turned into a magnifying glass on you. You thought it was going to be a Q&A against Tim and Monty.
You guys are weird, man.
Guess what, LA?
You guys
came here to fuck your shit up.
You guys got some problems? We'd like to talk about them.
Here's one. I had to get some quarters today to do my laundry.
Oh, no.
I had to go to a goddamn bank. What is up with your racial segregation, LA? I hate to get too real with you on the last episode.
This is.
But it was a pretty real situation in Bank of America.
This is pretty real.
Firstly, I almost threw up because of how hungover I was. And that's semi-relevant to the point, by which I mean not at all. We should probably move forward from this anecdote. I don't think it relates
You're
to the
You're good at reading
movie.
A room, Tim, and I've always said that about you.
All right.
You got a real sense for... Yeah. How everyone's doing. That's you. Here's Tim in a room. Yeah, I can feel that. It's a real room full of real people.
Well, I mean...
This is different for us. You've got to be aware of that.
The weird thing is that somewhere in the distance I can like hear a... There's a lot of gears. It's like a small truck or a bus or something.
Nope, you can't hear that.
I can hear it. So, no, hold on. Shh, everyone shut up for a
infection.
Second. Shh, shut up, guy.
Roll up as an inspiration. Roll up for the mystery tour and roll up. Roll up for the mystery tour and the Steve Buscemi mystery tour. Coming to take you away, take you today. Oh, you son of a bitch, Tim Bat. I did not see you driving that bus.
I'm in the front seat, man. Okay, here we go. Here it is. Here we're at. I'm going to pass it over to you.
Okay, so this is where we're at. We're at the driver's test, as you all saw. I mean, how many of you have seen a driver this scene before in the movie? How many of you know what we're talking about? Make some noise. Who just found out what it looks like when Steve Buscemi explains what's wrong with him? Make some noise.
That time.
Well, I'm not wasting time. I'm just excited for these people.
Work for your audience, Montgomery.
I am. I'm working my tail off up
all
here.
Right.
Doesn't look like much, but
I'm not hearing
I'm
it.
I'm sweating jokes up here, all right?
Okay.
I'm hemorrhaging jokes.
Let's go.
I'm losing a lot of jokes.
I haven't heard a single
here.
One. Make me laugh, funny man. Make me laugh.
This is twice as terrifying as before. Because we were together.
You've got no allies anymore. You're all alone on the battlefield of Grown Ups 2. There he was, 2015, a lone Kiwi lad brought up in the South Island and suddenly thrust into an environment he's not equipped or experienced in. He's in Hollywood, folks. He's in Los Angeles, California. Not only is the weather throwing him off because apparently it's winter, but fucking tell the weather that it's like 30 goddamn degrees here. But everything he thought was true about this country is false. The people are lovely and genuine. The air is breathable and the water very absorbable. Guy Montgomery struggling for a thread to grab onto in front of a theatre of 170 of his nearest and dearest, trying to figure out the Steve Buscemi mystery tour. Why, if my name isn't Julia Andrews, I'll be damned.
So, there I was. Los Angeles, California, everything on the line. Now, in all seriousness, Tim, the reason I'm so nervous about this is the last Steve Buscemi mystery tour, aka the last roll of the dice.
Make it a goodie.
This is pretty much our last gosh diddly darn opportunity to grab onto something and say, this is exactly what happened to Steve Buscemi before the curtain is pulled back and we find out what caused this freaky motherfucking injury.
I am hearing a lot of padding and I'm hearing a lot of pronouns as us, and I'd like to remind you, you are alone on this stage right now. So let's make it happen, Monty.
A big fan of collective pronouns.
Bring it together.
Little known fact.
Here we go. Steve Buscemi mystery tour. Take.
Take.
Well, it's not 52 because we're still halfway through the podcast.
Steve Buscemi works at a trampoline store. Secondhand trampoline store. He's peddling pretty dodgy trampolines, okay? Some of this in padding at the end. Some of them missing paddings on the side. It's not important. What's important is just open up next door is the Walmart of trampoline stores, a.k.a. Mr. Walls. Mr. Walls deals exclusively in trampolines which have those safety walls around them.
Nice.
Guess what? It's not so good for business over at Mr. Buscemi's house.
Hold
no
on
sir-y.
For a second. What?
Well, it's not so good for business over at old Buscemi's house.
That's what I'd heard.
Yeah. I told you just before. Pretty much what's happened here is Steve Buscemi's involved in a last gasp, absolutely desperate sales pitch to a wealthy family who have just moved into the neighborhood.
Okay, we've got a lot happening so far. I think I'm there. Yep, let's keep going.
Are you with me? Because you asked a lot of me, and if you can't keep up with the details, I don't know what to do.
Steve Buscemi's got a trampoline company, but specifically the kind that has the
secondhand trampolines, idiot.
Oh, secondhand. Okay, right, all right.
Okay,
and their family's approach. Okay.
You'll catch up. Listen back to
it. Head it up. Here we go.
So pretty much what's happened is Steve Buscemi's house is going into foreclosure. The whole business is shutting down unless he can sell this one trampoline. Family.
Like one specific trampoline or a model of trampoline?
He's just got to sell a trampoline.
Oh, like he just. Okay.
Like the ultimate.
He's old Gil.
Yeah, it's old Gil. Steve Buscemi is played by Old Gil.
That's a Simpsons reference. Go fuck yourself, Los Angeles. That was very funny. Please continue.
Oh, boy. If I don't sell this trampoline, I guess I'm going to lose my children. It's not a very good Old Gil.
It's in the ballpark.
So anyway, pretty much what happens is Steve Buscemi gets so involved in the sales pitch, he climbs aboard the trampoline, starts bouncing around saying, hey, look what I can do. He does a sit jump into a front flop, into a back flop onto his feet. The family say, that's not bad. Steve Buscemi says, you ain't seen nothing yet. He clicks his fingers. The whole AV department blows up and, baby, you just ain't seen nothing yet.
That's where I was hoping this was going.
It was a very effective marketing
tool. Very cool. Okay, love that.
He was pulling out all the stops.
I'm Lovitzing it at it.
Yeah. John Lovitz walks in, Steve Buscemi has a panic attack, tries to do a backflip, absolutely lands in between two of the springs on the outer rim without a pad.
Jesus.
His head between them.
Oh my God.
He rocks backwards in his grave, I suppose.
We're talking about Chris Rock?
No, Chris Rock's not involved.
Oh, Wiley.
He's having a spa.
We're talking about Wiley.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Buscemi's head's in between two springs. He breaks his back.
Yeah.
His arms are sort of thrust into a position that they're forced into by what is essentially rigor mortis. He's later revived by one of those reviving machines.
Okay.
Don't you give me plausibility problems. I'm nearly finished.
You're doing really well.
I'm finished.
That's pretty good. I'm very happy that that's the last one. That was really good. I'm proud of you, man.
I got a good feeling about it.
I'm really proud of you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Do you want to
talk? Not really.
I don't know about talking.
Do you want to talk about it?
Well, there was something else I had in mind, if you don't mind. I was going to light a couple of candles. Put some Barry White on and just gently, just hold on.
I'm not talking.
Shh. Just shut up for a second. Just let me do this, okay? A papa. Papa, 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 papa.
With Paddy's Ford! He's in the tattoo parlor getting pictures of a face on his dick!
Okay, alright. So, here's the fucked up thing that we haven't talked about on the podcast yet. Here's the real life portion of the Paddy Schwartz party time. We got, immediately before we came here to the venue, tattoos of Patrick Schwarzenegger's face. Not how it is now, but how it is in the movie, in stencil form, accompanied by a Latin interpretation of REO Speedwagon's lyrics for Live Every Moment.
And Love
now,
Every
that
Day.
That sounds kind of insane when you lay it out like that all at once. It but sounds, in my mind, it makes perfect sense.
It sounds weird when you say it to someone at breakfast. That's when it sounds most weird. Hey, good morning.
Hey, a good day to you. Buenos dias.
So you're eating some muesli there, how's that?
Muy bueno.
Gracias. Are you Spanish or local?
Cause si. I'm Español.
Spanish local.
Soy Juan.
Anyway.
Me llamo es Juan.
Juan.
Si.
Don't know what you're doing in my kitchen, but I guess while I've got you, I'll show you this.
Oh! mucho gusto, Paddy!
Yes, that's right. It's a tattoo of Patrick Schwarzenegger with a Latin translation of
Alto
an ario.
Alto cinco. It's kind of like high five, I think. Alto means up, though. Well, so it's like up five.
Well, what happened is you made Juan such a weird guy.
Oh, Jesus. Yes.
That it was suddenly normal for me to show you my Patrick Schwarzenegger tattoo at breakfast. That's what happened. It was fun.
Me gustaría
no,
un
not,
enchilada.
I'm not here with Juan.
Pollo, por favor.
I'm here with Tim.
Okay.
And we're on the same fucking team.
Here he is. He's back. He's ready for action.
What was your Patty Schwartz
no,
party time?
No, hold on.
Time?
Fuck off. Who
no,
cares?
You
no,
fuck
shut
off.
Shut up for a second. Hold on.
Hey, take one right, of those jandals off and ram them down your sofa, guy.
Guess
friend,
what? I'll take them both off, friend. They're done. They're off. I'm barefoot now. I'm exposed because I want to get exposed with you, guy. I'm going to flit over the Patty Schwartz party time so we can get to some real heavy shit because that's what I desire. My Patty Schwartz party time on this, the final one, 52nd viewing of the movie, was that the dude loves checked materials. There are checked shorts. There are checked shirts. They're on at different parts of the movies. He's not wearing them together. He just loves squares happening on and about his body.
He loves checks, but not too much.
He doesn't just love punching them.
No.
He just loves wearing them.
That's right. He loves tartan. He loves other varieties of checks.
So here's the question that I was trying to boil down to. Like,
how's your new watch?
Jesus, that tattoo's actually bringing me a bit of grief because it's very new and it's very tender. I'm going to adjust my legs a little bit. My lady legs. Like, I guess my question is, all right, here's my first question. Could you have foreseen this, us being in America during the last ebb? When we started, like, take yourself
this
back to
question,
1 year ago.
This question to me, Tim.
Yes.
Sounds like a man running bare-assed and afraid. From Patrick Schwarzenegger arriving at a party.
Tell me more.
The way you're talking to me sounds like you were having drinks at your sister-in-law's house and then Patrick Schwarzenegger came around with a bottle of gin and you said, oh, it's lovely to meet you. I've got to go.
I'm not sure I am on board with what you said.
Tell me what the fuck you enjoyed about Patrick Schwarzenegger in the movie just watched, or get off the stage.
Did I not say checks? Was checks an unacceptable answer to you?
No, I just forgot.
Yeah, I thought that was what would happen. See, folks, the thing is, everyone in the cinema is going, what a bunch of douchebags. I can totally watch the movie without drinking 6 beers. But the thing is, we've seen it literally 51 times before tonight.
Yeah, two now.
In the last 12 months, and that is really saying something. So don't judge us.
Tim, I got to ask you.
Judge yourselves.
Did you at any point while we were watching the movie tonight feel guilty about making a room full of people watch the movie tonight?
Kinda, yeah. Mainly, like, the bit where it really kicks into high guilt gear is about 3/4 of the way through when you sort of, to be honest, it's anything after when Keithy breaks his leg. Because that's the bit where the movie, and it, funnily enough, that's the halfway point. And we know that because we mapped out exactly in the film where we knew 50% was. But when Keithy displays some ability in football, you're like, wow, it only took us an hour, but finally we have a thread to follow. Like, finally there's some plot and shit. And then it gets destroyed immediately in the same fucking scene by his dad who breaks his leg.
Do you know what also gets me is if I was a football coach and I just saw a kid who was kicking for his first time like that, I would not be so blasé about the injury.
Yeah?
I walk up to Adam Sandler and say, hey, dude, you got some real parenting issues. Your son's got potential. We'll pay for his health insurance.
That being said, you're a psychopath and I think you are due a visit from some government officials because, you know, the feds don't like how you parent. Which you can take one of two ways. Number one, Adam Sandler's a bad dad. Number two, the government's a bad government. It's up to you.
The truth lies somewhere in the middle.
I don't want to cut off the conservatives to this podcast. I know they're thick and strong. We got a lot of red voters. We got a lot of Mitt Romney types. We got a lot of John McCain voters.
Mitt Romney is actually a very big fan of the podcast.
No,
I
shit.
Got a letter from Mitt this morning at the apartment.
So?
Yeah, it said, Dear Tim and Guy, keep up the good work. If you ever want to come over for dinner, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
I have 13 wives. It was a very frank, very honest letter from Milt. Or Mitt.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't think you knew who Mitt Romney was, but you clearly have shown yourself to me.
However you pronounce it.
You're a better participant in American politics than I gave you credit
for. He's not a bad guy. He's just an idiot.
You keep trying to get away from the core truth of what's happening tonight, guy. Like, I want to know your feelings. I want to know, like, tell me what it feels to be in front of 170, 50, 20. It'll go down every time. Because we've got to head towards the truth with that. There is 23 people in front of us right now making a lot of noise. But how do you feel
very
being in
rowdy
front of
13.
We're in Los Angeles, California. I'm pretty sure we're in
Los
Hollywood.
Los Angeles, California.
My sense of direction isn't great, but I think we're in Hollywood right now. Like, what are your thoughts? How do you feel about that?
It's pretty good to be here.
Yeah?
These chairs aren't as comfortable as your couch.
Okay.
But.
Okay.
But I got to say, it's pretty wonderful to have people actually listening, you know, in real time to what we're saying.
You know what? I don't like it. I'm not a fan. If I had to pick between being alone in the lounge and this, I'm going to go lounge every time.
Tell me why.
In the lounge, there's food, there's natural light, there's no people watching me.
I'm usually looking pretty strong at you, boy.
Yeah. But you are
I'm eyeballing the shit out of you.
Oh, okay.
Thinking how I can get in there.
Well, hold on.
Make myself comfy. Well, maybe see what it feels like to be Tim Bat for a little while.
Whoa, you're going in deep, huh?
Yeah, real deep.
Okay.
As physically deep as is possible for another human climbing into the body of another human.
It's like comic book territory where you're taking over me, over my skin.
Sorry, boy, what were you saying?
You've really thrown me for well, depending on what country you're from, either a curveball or a six. It's a ball sport either way, and I'm very confused, slightly aroused. I prefer my lounge because there's couches there.
I mean, you mentioned the chair thing. We just watched the movie in a couch.
I know. I like the safety of biscuits being really close to me. And in America...
You are aware a biscuit in America is a...
Scone. It's a sweet scone. Yeah. But only in
the
South.
We don't usually have sweet
scones. It's a cookie here.
Okay.
Let me rephrase. The thing is, when I'm at home, I know cookies are surrounding me, and that brings me a lot of joy.
It's much more obvious
and
to
like,
me now.
And, like, I'm freaking out right now because I can't see a single cookie on this... I see a DJ booth and I see a big screen behind us. I can't see a single cookie.
I see potential. I see Blaze Pizza. That's an imitation of Patrick Schwarzenegger whenever he heard about Blaze Pizza. I don't know why we're talking about them now. We swore ourselves off those bastards.
Can I talk about Sherry O'Terry real quick?
Yeah, you can.
Because I felt like in this particular watch, she really came out to play. I feel like Sherry O'Terry was here for keeps. She was playing marbles.
Did you not?
And she was losing marbles. She's lost her marbles. Sherry O'Terry's insane. But a good
Sherry
actor.
Sherry O'Terry, I was actually... You were speaking about this earlier. I felt somewhat disappointed, I think, in the audience reaction to Sherry O'Terry's opening scene with Selma Hayek. Mm. I don't know what's been happening, you know, the last year, but I do know that I've, for whatever reason, associated that scene with sort of laughter.
It didn't happen tonight. Or, like, legitimately, that was probably the biggest scene in the movie before we got to the party scene, which, as we know, is a total throwaway. That whole third act, we can write it off.
Not the biggest scene.
But the interaction between Selma Hayek and Terry O'Sherry, the crowd...
And Siri O'Meary.
And Cine Family tonight on this, the 18th of February, the year of our Lord, 2015. You didn't go for it. You were rats who smelt the cheese and went, I see what's happening here. Go fuck yourself. And I admire that about this crowd, but I also am confused by it because I thought that was a funny scene. I've lost all perspective, clearly, because I've seen the movie too many times. But I legitimately thought that Selma Hayek and Terry O'Sherry's pairing was good. Yeah, I thought it was entertaining.
It's too bad they cut all of Terry O'Sherry and Selma Hayek scenes from the movie, because I agree, I thought they really popped off.
I thought they were good tonight, right?
Yeah.
Right?
What I think, Tim,
yeah,
is that we're in way over our heads here.
Oh, shit. Okay, we're pretty good, too. What more do we need to cover? Have we done all of the things?
I don't know.
Hold on. Did you do a shining light?
No.
Did he? This is so much better with a crowd because I don't have to rack my brain remembering.
You were supposed to remind him.
Here I am.
You've been
doing it.
Stalling this whole fucking time.
Guess what, guy?
Like an asshole.
Here we have it.
There we were.
Los Angeles, California, on the final watch, and Guy had to determine his shining light. And it was...
The moment in the movie...
When...
The...
Guy...
With...
The...
Leotard...
Took...
A...
Sip...
Of...
Beer.
Now...
When...
This...
Happened...
A lot...
In...
The...
Movie...
Comes...
Down
hard. Let's stop playing this awful improv game.
You really need to pick a fucking shining light, dude. We can't move on until you do.
Like, can I just cop out and be like over, like about talk about the whole project and be
oh,
like,
oh, I'm sorry, the dude, shining light. How about this for three times?
How about this for a shining light, idiot?
Yeah.
When the credits roll.
Yes.
And we hugged because we don't have to watch the movie anymore.
Yeah.
How's that for a fucking shining light? Fuck you.
If I may take the opportunity to tell you how it is as a shining light, it doesn't fucking qualify because it wasn't in the goddamn movie, you son of a bitch. Let me tell you something about you, Guy Montgomery. You're a fucking idiot. And I hate your guts. If I had a pitchfork right now, I'd jam it through your goddamn chest and murder you.
You'll be pretty lucky to get through this chest, pal.
That being said...
Because I've been eating muesli bars since we were in the desert, and guess what? I'm feeling pretty goddamn near to invincible. You put a pitchfork into my body, I think it's going to crumble like a goddamn spork in a coconut.
What is your understanding of muesli? What do you think it does?
It makes me feel like I'm Zeus.
You're an idiot. You're a bona fide fucking moron.
Zeus wasn't quick with his brain, but he was fucking quick with a lightning bolt, bitch! I'm Zeus right now.
You're not Zeus,
and I'm
dude.
Chicken out of this conversation,
all
bitch!
Right. I understand. Listen, where are we at? I'm not sure. We need to place ourselves in space and time right now. Well, I think that...
Welcome to the end.
Yeah.
The end.
Well, if there was ever an anti-crescendo, that was it. If there was ever the worst way to end the worst idea of all time, pretty sure you nailed it, bro. Way to stay on brand. Proud of you.
I'm proud of myself. Hey, I'm Guy Montgomery.
I'm Tim Batt.
Don't watch...
Good enough. Listen, on a serious note.
Before you leave,
yes,
we brought you some presents to take with you back to New Zealand.
Oh, God. Oh, shit, Brett. It's cute. Let's have a third round of applause for Brett because he's fucking earned it. This shit's all up to him. Cine Family on Fairfax and Sunset. Oh, fuck off. That's cool. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. So we are currently holding a promotional Grown Ups 2 visor, which seems like official cruise swag, a cookie which may or may not contain any weed.
No, that's because you've been asking for a cookie
What
feels like 10 hours, you fucking moron.
But more importantly, Guy is currently wearing a Grown Ups 2... what are they called when they're in the water? Is anyone, what's the correct
terminology? Flotation device.
It's like a donut, right? Like a what? An inflated tube.
Inner tube.
An inner tube. It's an inflator in a tube, and it's Grown Ups 2 branded. This is the heaviest biscuit I've ever fucking lifted. Feel it.
I gave it to you. I've already felt it.
Do it.
I literally picked it up to put it in your hand.
Huh. I'm not going to lie to you. It's wet.
But not that's a bad, not a bad quality in a biscuit.
That's not altogether a bad thing. I want to take this opportunity on behalf of myself and Guy to thank you guys so much for tuning out tonight. You guys are wonderful. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Truly, and that applause is for you. You're amazing.
Thank you. And so, look, what I did is I wanted you guys to... hey.
What I did.
Come on. What we did. We threw a little. Did you fight on stage?
No. I just. Yeah.
I felt like you did.
I didn't fight.
Okay. Look, I made a little. We made a little thank you video for you guys.
Tim made it.
I definitely made it.
I was in the room about half the time.
But look, it's not that long, and I just wanted to present it to you guys here at the live event because you're wonderful. Cheers for coming out. This is a weird situation. We're really happy we're here.
Let's get out of here, bro.
And we're going to bail. So enjoy the video. Thanks for coming. Tim and Guy, good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.